Good evening.
And the crowds go wild.
Yes, they do. Wilder.
For those of you listening to the recording of this tonight, I'm going to ask the audience we have here to hold it down tonight because the crowd is just massive in size.
They'll
be floating here a little bit. Let me start us off with a prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this time. As I was driving over here, the weather got pretty intense. And so I just pray right now for people who are on the way home from the work. We have tornado sightings, there's hail. So Father, we come together as a link class to connect our hearts this night, Lord. And I'm looking around the room, and it's not strangers here tonight. It's our steadies. It's people who've been with us time and time again. There's a connection, a bond, a friendship. And Father, that's actually what you put on my heart for us to spend time with tonight, the word friendship. So bond us together. It's not about numbers, Father. It's about you. The number is one. Christ died on the cross. We celebrate that this week, not the death of Christ, but the resurrection, because he died for the one. There's a great song that's out right now that talks about he leaves the 99 to find the one. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for finding us, for calling our name, for reaching out to us, for being there with us. Now, with the presence of the Holy Spirit, the realness of the Holy Spirit. So help us focus tonight, Lord. Smaller numbers doesn't mean that we can kind of dial it in or have less than intensity in what we do. So we thank you for this time together. In your holy name we pray. Amen. How was your week? Pretty good? Pretty good then? So, mine was kind of special. And the reason for that is a couple. One is, I was telling Jared and Kanan, my wife's daughter is in from Cambodia. She flew in a week, sometime last week. It's kind of blurring together. Because Houston Christian High School, where she graduated from, had reached out to her about 4 months ago and asked her to fly home because they wanted to give her a special award. She graduated valedictorian of her class 2000 and something, quite a while back. She's 33, so whatever that means. It's because of the work she's been doing in Cambodia, working with girls rescued from sex trafficking and following God's calling. And that's what she's done. She is the most spirit-led person that I've met in my life. She's kind of a role model. She hates when I say that when she's around. She gets embarrassed, but she is. She talks about the Holy Spirit sort of convicts her and guides her with stomach aches, and that her stomach starts hurting when she's trying to, do I do this, do I not do this? And when the decision is made in the direction that he wants her to go, the stomach kind of relaxes, and so there's a focus. She doesn't look forward to it, but that's when she's wrestling, and that's what the way it surfaces. And so she was up in, it's actually Tommy's stepdaughter, but Tommy raised her for all intents and purposes. She gets birthday cards from Erica's grandmother, you know, thanking her. And she taught Erica how to shave and bought her first bra. She's been that type of role in her life. In college, she felt really led to go in the mission field and just ran into these two girls who were going to Cambodia for a couple of weeks, and she said, I'm going with them, and they came home, and she did, but she started packing her bags, and I'm going back over. So everything she had, had this cute little Volkswagen and she had saved money for and bought, and all of her furniture, her television, she got like two suitcases, and I'm going to Cambodia. And spent a couple of years there working with the Rafa House, which rescues girls, and she was actually the director of the house at 30 years old with 70 people reporting to her. It was crazy. And then ended up coming home because of, wasn't malaria, typhoid? I forget. She had parasites and got pretty heavy on the body. So she came home about 18 months. But the whole time she's home, she's just unsettled. Right? Am I supposed to go? But, you know, I want to go back. But then she said, I'm going back. And so we thought she'd go back with the rock pastor. She goes, no, I'm not doing that. I'm going to go try to plant a church, and I'm going to try, but I want to do it with Cambodia people. I don't want to go with the IMB, International. Yeah, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do with a church. I want the Cambodia people to rise up. And the reason for that is what she found from being over there, there are these NGO organizations. You see that on television a lot? That's called non-government organization. She said what happens, they come in, like the Rafa, they try to do what they can, but it's hard to sustain stuff because they're seen as kind of outsiders. And so she goes, I want to be inside. I want to go be part of, and it'll do a longer process, but I want to be part of. So she went out and she got an apartment and she got a job teaching at one of the universities, and she has this collection of people. And so now she's gone out and she's rented a bigger place that she uses as a collection site for these young 20-something-year-old girls, college, little after-college girls, to come and hang with her. And we all see these pictures of all these things she does. And what is happening, she's winning them over to Christ because of the fact that her walk and her mouth are both the same. And that's big for them, you know, for them to see it. And so her thing is right now, she started a company that teaches people, expats, the Khmer language. And I said, how much do you charge for this? She goes, $4 an hour, right? But that's the going rate. I mean, it's because it's like, you know, she said the people are more established, they charge $5. But she's getting all this business coming in because she has her own, she has a website, and, you know, she's, and so she's got a thing together. She's hired some of these girls she's been teaching in college, and that's her recruiting source, and people are coming to her. So, but it's all self-sustained because she says, I want to do it like the old missionaries did it, with prayer. Whatever I need, God's going to provide for me. You know, the Holy Spirit's going to guide me. Things going to happen. I'm going, I'm not man enough to, she is convicting to me. And is the most unassuming person that I've ever met. So, I mean, I had a chance to hang with her a little bit. Second reason that it's been just an amazing week is because this weekend I got a chance to go, you've heard us talk about it before, to Brenham, Texas, to Outback, Texas was this weekend. And to watch God work right in front of your face is just amazing. We had, there was a couple that were, found out later on, that fought with alcoholism, abuse in the family. They were just banging into each other. And watching the wife go from just being just in this dark, heavy-laden place to Sunday morning coming in with her hair pulled back and a beam on her face. And the husband calling the director on Monday morning that led the husband and wife group to tell them about the great journey that they had home. And, you know, just to watch that happen is just powerful. And it's just the presence and the realness of the Holy Spirit just working in people's lives. And it was interesting. We had a meeting last night where we were kind of just talking about some of the aftermath. And somebody talked to one of the guests who came, referred to this weekend as experiencing heaven on earth. You know, heaven on earth. Because the Lord's Prayer actually talks about that. You know, that will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it's the guy who founded this whole thing made a comment because it seems like every time we have an Outback weekend, an Outback experience, that what happens is everyone seems to be better than the last one. And we can't, you know, it's like when we kind of joke, but it really is. It's like we just are blown away to watch them work. And but the director, the guy who found this thing, put it in perspective for us because God's best work is the work he's doing now. You know, his best work is the work he's doing now. And what happens is, I don't know if you realize this, but whenever the brethren come together in his name like we are tonight, do you realize that this is heaven on earth? Because what's happening in heaven right now, right, is there is worship that's going on. There is praise. And that's less than 24-hour thought in my head. I shouldn't say thought, but I heard, we were talking about this. And someone made a comment that this, When we come together in His name and we work and we do and we reach out, that is heaven on earth. That's the Holy Spirit working with us in just a profound way. And I just told myself, I just wanted to share that with you to let you kind of, let that kind of percolate a little bit over the course of the next week, or especially this week because of Holy Week. You know, we're looking. Last week we spent some time looking at Holy Week in its entirety. Bill, I realize you've experienced more than two Holy Weeks. You've been around for a little while. I don't know why I say it that way, but but you know, we looked at it about a year ago. We did it again this time or whatever. What was, after sitting in class last week, what was your wow? What spoke to you last week? Anything in particular?
Well, I got the last half hour.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, you got the kind of the tail end of it.
Yeah. So I guess I'll have to think about last year.
Mm-hmm.
And it more or less made me realize, you know, what our Lord went through in a more real manner. The way it was presented, I could see the things that were going. And since then, I've been to Israel, it even meant more.
Mm-hmm.
Because you saw those places where he was and could put it in perspective.
Yeah, you could be able to picture it, put it in perspective, yeah. Jared, Kanan, we were talking briefly last week. Were y'all in the class last year we did it, or is this first time?
Yes, we were.
That's what I thought.
Kanan didn't make it last year.
That's right, no, so... He was not sick, but...
You know, if you keep doing this, every time it even gets better.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess last week it really prepares you for Easter, puts it in a perspective, and realize how awesome our God is.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it was a great preparation for this coming week.
Yeah. For me, looking at last year versus, because it's one was I was led to some different verses, you know, when I went back did some study on, but the key thing for me was looking at Holy Week, especially as we get into tonight and tomorrow, and looking at the 15 laws, Jewish laws, that the Jewish leaders broke as they took Christ through trial. That was just profound to me from a filter standpoint, to go in and recognize, you know, it wasn't just Pilate, you know, it's like it's the unfairness started right about now, because this is where Judas, Wednesday night, this is where Judas is hooking horns, and he's going, I'm going to talk to the leaders, and, you know, I'm going to determine it. And what happened was, as Scripture says, Satan entered Judas's spirit. That's taking place tonight, would be an anniversary of that. But the reason I want to spend some time tonight on this word friendship is in because of what takes place tomorrow on Thursday, which is the Last Supper. And Christ specifically points out about this word friendship. And he talks about the Holy Spirit is going to come, and he leaves, and he refers to the Holy Spirit in a friendship manner. And I looked at that, and I looked at this whole thing around friendship, especially I looked at John. In John 15:15, he said, Christ is trying to impart. This is Thursday night. He's trying to impart on the disciples because he knows he's leaving. And you know, it... For those of us who have kids, you know, and you're about to go off and you're about to leave them because you're going to go on a meeting or a business, and before you leave, you're worried they're going to screw up. You know, Richard, when your parents were leaving, did they give you any kind of last minute like behave kind of things? I know I did. I got a lot of those. My mom and dad just make sure you make sure. Or it's like when I'm if my wife is leaving, but just before she leaves, if it's trash day, she makes sure she stops. Make sure you take the trash out. Okay, I'm going to get that last-minute instruction. Well, Christ is saying this to his followers, to his disciples, and he says, I do not call you slaves anymore. right? Because a slave doesn't know what his master is doing. Now, why does he say that? Put yourself in the mind of a slave, right? Why would a slave not know what a master is doing? It's whatever the master says. You know, it's like transaction. Go do that. But he doesn't know what's going on in the mat. He doesn't know the big picture. It's all transactional type of thing. All right. I've called you friends, and this is kind of hard for me when I start looking at this. Friends, because I've made known everything that I've heard from my Father. Christ has got his disciples around him. He said, everything that I know, man, I'm giving you it all. I'm not holding anything back from you. Friends. Now, when I was reading this, I started thinking about my best friend. Now, you guys I've gotten connected to, and I really, really care about you deeply. And I refer to you as friends. Know some of you better than others, but this group right here, we've spent some time together. There's a guy, his name is Francis Schwarzenberg. Met Francis when we were freshmen in high school, right? And that was more than just a few years ago. Francis and I have been with each other since then. And if there has been any major event in our life, and a whole lot of minor ones, we did it together and have done it together. We've just been running butts. Let me help you put this in perspective. This is our sophomore year, junior year in high school. That's me and Francis. Right?
Are you the shortest one?
Yes, I'm the short one. That's Francis and me. And we are getting ready for a very hot date. Not with each other.
I'm assuming you're the tall.
That's a good guess, Kanan. That's a good guess. And I'm the tall one on that one. Yeah, Francis was on the football team as a split end. Francis was so short, I laugh, he had wore number 90. He had a 9 on the front and a 0 on the side. I mean, he's a short little thing or whatever, but, you know. We've been there for weddings. We've been there for birth of our children. We have been there the night that he called me to tell me that Alyssa, his daughter, at the age of 2 years old, was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy. And he was told to take her home and make her comfortable because she probably wouldn't make it to 6. And I still remember the angst in my voice because Francis had this solidness to him. And I was wrecked. And he simply told me, he goes, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to raise her as a independent, self-sustaining young girl to see if I can get her to be a woman. And today, she lives in Lafayette, Louisiana. She has a master's degree in counseling, and she counsels people who have disabilities because, as she puts it, from her little wheelchair, like 65 pounds, she says, when I talk to them, they have no excuses. You know, she's a cherub. She inherited her father's heart. And this is Francis today. I wish I had the picture. Have you ever seen the guy on the beer commercial who's the most the Seckies guy? He's the Seckies guy. I told him, I said, you're moonlighting. You're moonlighting, Francis. But that's Francis today. And here's what I want you to do on your handouts. I want you at your tables. Richard, dive in with somebody else. We're going to kind of connect up a little bit. I want you to talk amongst yourselves just real quickly. We have time for a few of these things. I want to look at what are the characteristics of a friend. Friends that you have in your life, people that you've known, people that you would call friend, what are the characteristics that make them a friend? All right? I'm going to give you a couple of minutes to talk about that. Do y'all have enough? Yeah.
We'll flip a coin.
What are the characteristics of a friend? You only got about another minute and a half. Okay, let's see what we got. All right, so what are the characteristics? What are the characteristics? What's your last? He's always stirring something up, so go ahead, Bill.
Someone who likes you even with all the warts.
That's, I like that, okay. Somebody that likes you because even with all the warts. And when Bill says that, it's they like you because in spite of the fact they know who you really are. No, you know, none of these outside shields and stuff that's going on, you know. They know you. Then they know you. What else? What are some of the characteristics? Eduardo, what are some of the characteristics?
Well, people who doesn't want to change you.
They don't want to change you. They accept you the way you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, when you said that, you know, what popped into my mind is a conversation I had with a friend of mine this week, is that he accepts me the way he is, but he also challenged me on something because he saw me thinking a certain way about something. He goes, you know, Mike, I think you're thinking wrongly about that. You're looking at yourself as less than was his message. Because I was just wrestling with something. He says, you know, you can, you know, raise your expectations of yourself. Mm-hmm. That's a friend to do that. Mm-hmm. And as opposed to just going, go for it, big dude. You know, and I said, if you want to talk about it next week, but it's work to do, dude. You know. And he and I had a similar conversation before, kind of in the other direction. What else?
I think some of my friends, not necessarily, I don't know if it's characteristic, but we're not just alike, but we have common interests.
Yeah, something, you know, so there's a common to something. You have common past. You have common likes. You have common outlooks. I'm working on a search right now for a chief operating officer and got an offer for a guy to go to work for somebody else, and he turned the offer. It is a really, really good package. I mean, really good. But the reason he turned it down was because he says, my values and the other person's values, we don't see them, I don't see them being in sync, and I don't want to be, and it was a hard decision for him. But it's like that, it's, you know, it's like that there's a commonality. They look at life the same or through the same window or there's similar experiences, similar interests. Right? Anything else? Think of friends. It's kind of important for us to look at this because Jesus calls us friends and it's hard. Pardon me?
Reliable.
Reliable. They're there. You know, something. It's like right now, if I picked up the phone, right, and called Francis and said, I need blank. Within about 24 hours, he's in Houston. That would happen. You know, I know that when his mother passed away, I found out late in the afternoon, and so my wife said, I got to go to Louisiana. I got to get there for the wake, for the evening service. I jumped in my car and I'm flying over there. And I didn't have time to call him, and I'll never forget. You know, his mother, she developed Alzheimer's when she was in her late 40s, early stage, and lived for 20-something years. I mean, just, but I'll never forget Francis up front when the service was over with and head home to prepare for the funeral the next day. He turned and he sees me. And Francis, you know, Francis is a guy's guy. He's kind of like Bill, guy's guy. Yeah, yeah, but I mean, when he saw me, he just, the tear just, he goes, what are you doing here? I said, what do you mean? And I will tell you that when my parents left, you know, he was right there. You know, I shared with you my history a couple of weeks ago about getting kicked off the basketball team. You know, and just, that was a dark period of my life. And I will tell you, I found out that France was out speaking on my behalf to people, just there. It's always been there. Reliable. Has our best interests at heart, right? A friend has our best interests at heart. May not like them, but has our best, and we know that. All right. When you look at this, I wanted to do this. Here, and here's the other thing, is that if, from a friendship standpoint, it's critical that we show up, and you got to open up. the friend I was talking about on the telephone, is that there has to be an openness on his part and an openness on my part. But from a friendship standpoint, you got to show up and you got to open up. And so what I want to look at this is that it's also, is we got to be very careful that we don't get caught up in the trap where we get distracted by false urgency. All right? Friends have the ability to not get distracted by a false sense of urgency. They've got the ability to help us be able to maneuver through things. And here's, remember we talked a couple of weeks ago about clinging on to the Holy Spirit? When you look at a friend, what a friend does is we cling on to each other. You know, it's like Matilda, when Matilda comes in here, I have to connect with her. And as soon as I say, I gotta reach out, I gotta grab her, not physically, but I gotta connect with her when she walks. I don't know why. That's not figured out. I just have to. Right? But that's what a friend does. Now, but Francis, we've hung on to each other. I don't have a calculator with me to figure this out. Okay, it's been a few years. But what happened? We hang on to each other. We talk a couple of times a month. You know, not every week, but at least something happens. I'm on the road someplace, or he's on the road. Just think of each other. Our rule is if the thought pops in our head, we call and leave a message. But we cling on to each other. That's what a friend does. They cling on to each other.
Also, you don't have to call him every time. I mean, like every day,
mm-hmm.
to tell him that you are your friend or mm-hmm. vice versa. You know, he's always there.
Yeah, yeah. And I love
he
what you said. Yeah, and what I love about that is that there are some periods in our life whenever we're raising kids or going off to work in different states and stuff, we wouldn't see each other for a while. But as soon as we connected again, boom, we're an immediate connection because of the friendship. And so when you look at this thing, there's a need for us to be able to cling on to our friends. And Christ says, cling on to him. All right, and so I went back and looked at cling. I wanted to see what the word cling meant. So I called my buddy Webster to see what he thought about the subject. And he said this. He says it's to have a strong, not attachment, but a strong emotional attachment. A strong emotional attachment or dependence, an emotional connection. That's what it means to cling. All right, I got to tell you, I kind of like my little clicker thing here, and it turns the slides, you know. I do not have an emotional attachment to this thing. If I lost it tomorrow, I'd be very frustrated, but I got Amazon Prime, in 48 hours, he's getting replaced, okay? Francis, I got to change this up. I don't even want to think about that. All right? I've got an emotional attachment to him, all right? So what does it take to have an attachment? What does it take to have an attachment? Here's, and we looked at this a couple of ways in this class. We looked at this. Cling also means to remain or linger. To remain or linger. And when I started looking at this, my question is, do I really linger with the Holy Spirit? Or do I just kind of process them in the busyness of my day? You know, some of us are blessed to have a little bit more time early in the morning. Right? Some of us are blessed to have a little bit more time early in the evening. And some of us kind of run from the time we take our first breath in the morning till we go to bed and we just pass out in bed because we're busier than we should. We don't linger. It's like when I go to Louisiana to go visit my family, and in particular Francis, when it's Sunday afternoon to come back home, I try to get out by 1 so I can get in the front wave of the traffic. And I remember, you know, for a number of years, I wouldn't get out till 6 because I would just linger because we just squeeze out a little bit more good time, a little bit, you know. And so when I was looking at this, we have a friend that Christ talks about, a friend in the Holy Spirit. Do you really linger with him? Or do you process and rush them? Do you check them off the list because you're supposed to have your quiet time? So I'm going to sit in my Bible and do my things, and now I got to get home and fix breakfast. All right, now I get to work. Ever since I started hitting this word, it's been, I don't like the word. because I'm not doing a good enough job in my mind of lingering with them. Last couple of mornings I have, and for some reason I've had some pretty good days yesterday and today. Can't figure that. I'm sure maybe there's a correlation. I have to study that a little bit more. I'm not sure. Bless you. You know, but it's a matter of linger. Look at this. John 14, 16, 17. We've seen this before. He says this. Christ says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another, not helper, but another helper, that he may be with you. Be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides in you. It abides with you and will be in you. When you read this thing, look at some words that jump out that talk about this concept of friendship. All right? It's this. He's going to give you another helper. Francis and I used to help each other. Still do. Help each other do things. Right? Because we're friends. I remember the time that he shows up at my house in his car. He had this old beat up Le Mans that he'd gotten from his brother. Bought it probably for 75, 80 bucks, I'm sure. And he pulls in my driveway and says, I got to fix my windshield wipers. So I said, not a problem. Now, Francis and I, neither one of us knew which end of a screwdriver to use. But I'm in the car, and he's under there taking wires off and putting wires on, trying to get this windshield wiper thing working, the little control unit. And the next thing you know, I do some reach over, and I accidentally hit the horn, and the horn goes off. He's under the hood. You know what that's like. And he goes, wow. And I thought he was going to get mad at me. He comes around. He's all excited. He goes, we fixed the horn. And we put the hood down, we took off. He was all excited because we helped each other fix the horn. That's what friends do. The Holy Spirit has put into our life to be a friend to us, to help us. He'll be with you forever. You see, we don't have to, you said that, Eduardo. We don't have to worry. When I wake up tomorrow and put my shoes on to go to work, the Holy Spirit, my friend, is with me. And it's hard for me to understand that because I can see that post, but I can't see him. But you know what? He shows up all day long if I look for him. I start off by sharing before y'all got in about the Outback weekend I just came at. I saw him working. I got a call from somebody who was talking about they'd gone through the weekend and there was a challenge that was going on, and they just saw the change in the person, the Holy Spirit just working. I mean, he's there, but what happens is if we don't look for him, guess what? We don't see him. Because he doesn't come up and say, hey, here I am. But as soon as you say, where are you? And you look for him, and you see him working. That's the friend. And then the third thing here is this. The Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth is, I never have to worry about Francis telling me something just to make me feel good. If he ever tells me something, to challenge me on something, I need to stop and listen because he's telling me the truth. But here's the other component. If he tells me something good, I need to listen to that. How many times do we have friends that speak to us, but we do this thing going, yeah, but you don't understand, you know, and we're griping and we're winding down. And it's like my friend who called me yesterday kind of convicted me on some stuff, and we're talking about it. And again, it wasn't anything bad. It's more about some things that I need to do that I'm more than capable of doing. And he's trying to encourage me. Why are you not stepping into that space? Why are you not turning yourself loose? You know, and I'm trying to understand that because I'm trying to go into some new things and some new areas. You know, I'm doing like this, you know. You know? And he said, man, just jump in that water and go. You know? And there's some truth in that. But what happens is, and Tommy asked me last night, he said, when you hear that voice that says that you're less than, do you ask who's speaking? Do you ask who's speaking? Because what I find is when I ask the question, the voice goes away. Now, and we talked about the Holy Spirit speaking to us. You know, it's not an audible mic. But when you got that the dark thoughts going on in your head, if you ask yourself, who's speaking to me right now, the voice, for me, the voice gets quiet. I don't understand that. I don't have to. I just know that I know that I know that I know. So it's the truth, right? And you know, because he abides with you. See, this is Christ trying to explain this to us. You know, right now, Francis is not the Holy Spirit, but Francis travels with me everywhere I go. He's a piece of me. He's with me. His heart is with me. You know, sometimes, you know, there's certain things that happen that I just can't wait to call and tell him and share with him. You know, just, he's with me. And you stop and think about it, the Holy Spirit abides. What does it say? He abides with you, and he will be in you. He will be with every breath you take, every step you take, everything you try. He's going to be there. And the realness of him in this area, it's, we need to take him off the shelf like I used to keep him. We need to keep him from being a distant figure, and we need to bring him in personal and realize he's with us. Do you linger? That's the question I think we need to sit on. Do you linger? Do you linger with your walk? Here's a trap that I run into. I was raised in at least my perception of a church environment, with this word big time. I ought to do something. I ought to, you know, that's the church. I ought to do this. That was, I'd read, you know, here's all things I had to memorize. Ought to do that, ought to do this, ought to do that. And the shift for friendship and relationship comes whenever you can make it go from ought to want to. But even more than that, which is one of the commentators pointed this out, delight to. Instead of just want to, man, do I delight to? I am so blessed, gang, that y'all allow me to teach this class, because this is my delight. I get excited that I get a chance to go and look at a commentary and understand and come and have a discussion on stuff. And but that hasn't been my life. That's recent. That's only in the last less than 10 years now, 9 years, something along those lines. Again, I grew up in the church, being around the church, being around, but especially came to the Holy Spirit. It wasn't a delight. I didn't understand it. But it's like there's a delight that comes from being, oh, there he is. Oh, look what he did. Look him working right there. Look what he did to me. Look what he showed me. There's an excitement with that that comes from a friendship. So here's what I want you to do. Next thing, at your tables, okay? I think it's important for us to stop and look at this. Because the Holy Spirit is God. You have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, right? So I'm gonna look at this and move from speaking about the Holy Spirit and go on a sort of the triune or the global or the bigger picture and look at what are the characteristics of God. We looked at characteristics of a friend and we'll do the same thing. What are the characteristics of God? I'm gonna give you a couple minutes to think about that and talk about that at your table. Okay, all knowing, you know, so he's all present. But I'm trying to personalize this a little bit more, okay? Because let me kind of lead you someplace, okay? Characteristics of God: does he love you? Okay, yes. Okay, does God have emotion? What are some of the emotions that he might have? What are the characteristics that he has? You know, you just said all-knowing. So if he's all-knowing, you do it on a... I'm trying to get us to look at not God that sat on Mount Sinai, that when Moses went by, heard the thunder and the light in the distance. I'm trying to bring it much more personal than that. Okay? Much more personal. And so when you think about God, the characteristics of God from a personal basis, what comes to mind? I like that. I heard the word patience. Okay? What do you think of it, Eduardo? What characteristics do you think God has from a personal standpoint?
Unconditional.
Yeah, I like that. Hmm? Unconditional. Yeah, I love that. Cares. Write that in big words and put them on the side for me. I don't want to forget that. I got my pen right here. Okay, let's see what we came up with. What are some of the characteristics?
Faithful.
Bill says the word dependable, okay? I want to kind of sit on that for just a second, because how is he dependable? Is he dependable, the fact that if you don't have 20 bucks in your pocket, you can count on him to give you 20 bucks?
Yeah.
He provides if he thinks you need it. I put that in context because some people think of, you know, God's my personal ATM machine, and a little bit more than it. But I like the dependable part. It's an important aspect of it. He's there. He's dependable. We can count on him. We can count on him to provide. Not necessarily what we want, but he always provides what we need.
He keeps his word.
Keeps his word. So he is trustable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Reliable.
Patient.
Loving.
Encouraging. Forgiving. I was hoping we'd get the word forgiving on the table, because especially with where we're right now, I mean, it says, when I think of Francis, there's been some times Francis has had to forgive me. Not major, because there's not been something I've ever, that I can think of off the top of my head, where there's been something I did to him. But he's had to look past mistakes that I've made, things that I've done, as I have with him. But there's a forgiving nature of him. Right? What else? Yeah.
Shepherding.
I like a shepherding, all right? I want us to sit on this for a minute because of this. Christ says, you're friends. This is Jesus Christ says, you're my friend. And he wrote it so it could transcend time. So if they're his friend, because we are, through sonship, inherited the same, that means Matilda is his friend. And sometimes you mentioned the word care. I wrote it down really big because I got to go home and think about this a little bit. I sometimes lose. When you said that, what struck me, sometimes I lose sight. Not that I doubt, I just lose sight of how much he cares about me. Right? When things are happening, something's not going right, or I can't figure out that it's just, you know, do I really relax and think that the creator of the universe cares about Lillian? Mind-boggling. Sit on that word, Eduardo. He cares. That's hard. It's a hard concept for us to get our head around.
I suppose if he didn't care, he wouldn't have sacrificed his only son.
Yeah, thank you for getting the Friday for me. Yeah, I mean, matter of fact, I love that. Let's go to the next slide. I hadn't thought about it, but because what happens is gifts, okay? You get gifts, you know? It is so cool. One of the best gifts that I ever found, my mom and dad loved fruit. Dad grew up on a farm, you know, one of 10 kids, sharecropping kind of family. Literally, when he went off to try out for a college basketball team, his dad came and brought him his Sunday go to meeting shoes, because his dad didn't have a pair of shoes other than his tennis shoes. He ran around barefoot. I mean, this is not four generations. That's my dad. Spent time barefoot on horseback going to visit my mom. That's mind boggling for me. Okay, he loved fruit. And so I discovered this. I discovered the fruit of the month with Harry and David. Right? If you've never tried this, it's a little bit on the expensive side. I mean, not grossly expensive, but it's, you know, but I'm telling you, from a worth standpoint, you know, when you get that box of like six peaches that come in that look like softballs and you bite into it and the juice just runs down your arm, it is, and the strawberries that look they look like little baseballs with little green stuff on top, and you bite into it and the strawberry redness just jumps in your mouth, and we need to go get some right now. I'm just getting hungry talking about this stuff. But it's the reason the fruit. But here's what happens is Paul writes to the church in Galatia. The Galatians, he writes this. He says, the Galatians 5:22, but the fruit that comes from the friendship of the Holy Spirit, the fruit that comes out of this is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the gifts that we all have. Now, here's what I'm not going to do this in table. I thought about this, but we're going to move through some stuff here. But I'd like for us to be open, and you can't explain a lot of why, but I'd like for you to tell and share with the group, because we're going to be open and vulnerable here with our friends. What fruit have you been given as a gift that's up here? Which one of these fruits have you been given? I'll go first. Mine is one. Is patience. I'm working on a situation at work. I've been working on it since November, and we're running into one struggle after another with somebody who's just kind of challenging to deal with, and my responsibility is to deal with them as a client. One of the partners we were talking about meeting, and he turned and looked at me and said, this guy points out, this guy's got the patience of Job. You know, because everybody else wants to just slap the guy, including me, but I am. I just, that's, I'm a patient guy. Yeah, Bill, what's yours? Pick one. You got a lot. Which one? What jumps out at you?
Gentleness.
Gentleness. I can see that in you. Gentleness. Gentleness. How about you?
Me.
Mm-hmm.
Joy.
Joy, really?
Joy.
You like joy? So joy, you got that.
What's up?
Kindness. I can see that in you. Kindness. Just kindness. Eduardo?
Patience.
You're patient. Patience. Okay. Jerry?
Kenny, would you go out of the room a moment? Kindness.
Kindness. Okay. Kenny?
That is the one that really jumps out.
Kindness, I can see that in you. Just graciousness about you. I've experienced your kindness. So I can see that. Richard?
Faithfulness.
Now, let me tell you why that was important for us to do. It's because we have a friend who's giving us a gift. And if we can't talk about the gift that we've been given, we're dishonoring our friend. We are. See, what happens is it's sort of a sense of false humility we kind of come into. And it's taken me a long time to do this. This was not, it still isn't super easy for me, but it's, I've had to learn that for me to share and say that I speak well. I'm a very good public speaker, okay? I don't do it bragging. I do it to say, thank you, Lord, for giving me that gift. I've got to embrace that gift. I can't go, oh, shucks, well, I'll do the best I can, you know?
Break your arm, pat yourself.
That's right, you know. So it's not that, but it's not a matter of saying it, the whole purpose behind this. And I'm glad you said that. You know what hit me, Kenan, when you said that? It's not about me patting myself on the back. It's saying thank you, Lord, for giving Kenan kindness. For Kenan, thank you for giving me this. I'm kind. How can I use this gift today? You know, how can I? You've given me a gift. Speak about it. Own it. And guess what? Every single one of you, I could go around the room again and force you to give me another one because you got more than one. You know? Now, this one's going to be the hard one. It was put on my heart when I was putting the slides and stuff together and looking at some notes today. I'd like for us to go around the room now and say, which gift would you like for him to help you have more of? You see, you get a chance to ask him. Okay? All right? I'm going to give you a minute to think about it. I'm going to give you a minute to think about it. All right? All right? Jared's looking deep in Kanan's eyes, asking for forgiveness already. I can see it.
He knows what's going on.
Okay, let's start with you, Jared. What do you? Patience. Okay. But I'm gonna kind of pick it up. But can I sit on you for just a second here? Okay. What's important for Jared to do is not treat this lightly, and say this is something, Holy Spirit, my friend, who is faithful, okay, who's always there, who cares, you know, who gives us gifts, right? And the cool thing about it is we get to ask. We can say, I need, and it's not just give me more. It's I need help. Okay, I need help. Jared?
Example, I went to the driver's license place in Columbus last week to get my driver's license. And they opened at 9. I got there at 9:05, and my ticket number was 63. So I sat for 3 hours and. I got 5 texts from Kanan that said, be patient.
Yeah. Can I sit on something for a second with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Was the prompt coming from Kanan?
I felt pretty patient.
The prompt. You said you got 5 texts from Kanan.
I got a prompt, yeah.
Okay. Who prompted Kanan to send you the text? So, claim it. Right? If we walk in faith, if we say this is the fruits of the Spirit, okay, and if we're being chiseled to be more like Him, when those things come, if we lean into that and say, that a friend is going to use, He's going to speak to us through other people. Right? There's a situation. See if I can water this down enough. Where there was a mother and a son, and the son wanted the mother to go and do something. It was real important to him. And the mother just was having a bad day. Was having a really, really bad day. And she just couldn't bring herself to go do it. And the son looked at the mother and said, "It's okay. Let's not go do that. How about if we just go grab a bite to eat and spend some time together?" Who is speaking to the mother at that moment? God is speaking to that woman through that 10-year-old boy. When I'm standing on the pole, as I shared with us a couple of weeks ago, and I'm struggling with panic attacks, and my daughter is standing in this group of about 20 people, and everybody's screaming and yelling out of this commotion, I hear her telling me that I can climb that pole. You can do it, Daddy. And I hear her voice. It was Nikki's voice. God was using her to, and this is what we have. This is a resource we have at our not a resource. This is a friendship that we have at our fingertips, all right? And both from time stake and as well as just Jared. Thank you for allowing us to do that.
With God that gave her kindness that she had to text her. By the way, it ended up wonderful. I love the person that waited on me, and I got my driver's license.
There you go. See, and this is what we're called. We're called because what happens is this fruit produces more fruit. All of these characters, when people see this in us, they see Christ working in us. And I just think that we need to recognize we have a friend in the Holy Spirit that what happens is the fruit of the Spirit, when we play with our friend, and I'm trying to learn to do more of that, to literally just spend time and relaxing and just playing with them, and lighting up, yeah, you know, not being so heavy, because I can get real intense when I'm trying to make something happen. I'm not heavy-handed, but in my head I just get, you know, I get serious trying to make something happen or whatever. And, you know, so I was wrestling with some stuff last week and just things just weren't working well. And I got home on Friday night. Tommy's just, you know, and she actually came and said, "Next, how are you doing?" "Oh, I'm all right. I'm doing okay." Okay. And, you know, she goes,
you know,
and I said, she said, "You know, do you want to go take a walk before dinner?" And I went,
"That's love right there."
Yeah, I mean, okay. She goes, and she didn't say this, but she meant by yourself, you know. Because here's what she knew happened was, she knew that by me going walking, and it wasn't that I took a walk, but when I took a walk, and while I was taking a walk, I was speaking to somebody. You know who I was talking to? Because she wasn't with me, she was fixing dinner. I was talking to my friend. I was just spending time in prayer and talking and just praying and just, and for some weird reason, after about a 45-minute walk, I walk in the house and go, "Hello, how are you?" You know, this is what happens.
And she was like, "Thank you, God."
Yeah, and she pointed. I mean, this happens. It's goodness, faithful. For me, the one that I'm trying to work on is peace and joy. You know, it's peace. You know, because I just, you know, I'm always trying to fix things. I'm always trying to take care of people. I'm always trying to solve problems. I'm the oldest son. I got oldest son syndrome, and I got all this stuff. And it's like caretakers. What are you gonna have? You know, it's like it's got to be prayer. It's like I taught a class, and I'll teach here in a couple of weeks. I was really fast, and I had the book of James, okay. Except when I wrote it down, I wrote 1 James, okay. And I didn't catch it, so I'm reading it. But I went through, I'm reading the slides. Now 1 James said this, and about halfway through, I'm going. I moved on or what have you. And Tommy helped me. You may want to change that slide. She's very gentle with that. So now, of course, as soon as she said that, I'm going, I ruined the class. The whole class was ruined. That's not true. You know? That's
not, all or nothing.
That's not true. I mean, that was a slide way down the deck or what have you. But we do this. We start pulling and whipping up on ourselves. All right? So Romans 8:26 says this. It said, "In the same way, the Spirit also joins to help in our weakness, because we do not know what to pray for as we should, but the Holy Spirit, our buddy, our friend, our amigo, intercedes for us with unspoken groanings." And what this means is, we have in the Holy Spirit, God gave us this gift of a friend, that when we don't know what to say, we'll speak to God on our behalf. Intercedes for us. I mentioned my friend Francis. Right? He interceded for me as he spoke on my behalf in difficult situations. Right? This is the friendship that we have with the Holy Spirit. And he knows, he searches the hearts, because he searches the hearts. He who searches the hearts knows the Spirit's mindset, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. He serves as an intermediary on our behalf. It's a resource. It's a tool. It's an avenue. Then we think of him as a friend. That avenue opens up for us, as opposed to some vapor, something off in the distance. There's a personalness to him that I'm learning to rely on, to try to reach into, to claim, to look for, that when I get those moments of time when I'm happy, like I'm just having a blast with this class tonight, and in my mind I'm going, "Thank you for giving me these words." You know, it's him. It's not me, but he's intercedes for him, because I'm telling you, I got here soaking wet at 6 o'clock when that monsoon dripped, and so I was running late, and I was racing again to make sure I got something to eat before they shut that kitchen, because you do not want me teaching this class, because you think Betty White turns into some gorilla. You ought to see me when I haven't eaten, right? And so I don't, you know, and so I had looked at, prepared and stuff, but it wasn't front of mind recall like I like to have. And so I was a little worried about it. So I sat over quiet, ate my dinner, looked at my notes. Lord, come bring it. Help me to remember this stuff. Because it says this, Ephesians 1:13-14, when you've heard the message of truth, the gospel of salvation, and when you believed in him, you were also sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. See, it's not like, it's kind of, sorry, you're going to get this, Jared. You got it. He gave you the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's promised to you. You got it. And not only were you got it, it was sealed. And this is really, if you have to go back in time, you know, when this was written, when they talk about something being sealed, there's a covenantal relationship. There's a bond that, we got Gorilla Glue today. They didn't have that blessing at that time, right? I was going to say something, but I'm not going to go. I'm going to tell Tommy the thought that I had. She's going to be so proud for me not saying it out loud. The little boy in me was about to come out, and I'm not going to go there. Right? But there's a sealing that takes place. And he goes into verse 14, it says this, he is the down payment the down payment of our inheritance for the redemption of the possession to the praise of His glory. What happens is that we have an inheritance that we got because we were sons and daughters of God. Referred to sons, but it's generic, right? Sons and daughters of the Most High God. There's an inheritance that we get to claim. And when you inherit something, that's a bond. That is cool. That's awesomeness. And the Romans 5:5 says this. It says, this hope will not disappoint us because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And I found that verse. I was trying to find verse about Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, and this verse popped up. But you got to be very careful whenever you read Scripture. You can't read just a verse by itself. So I read verse 5 and I said, I wonder what the verse in front of it said. So I went back and I went and looked at verse 1. Verse 1 starts off and says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that, look at this. We know that suffering produces what? It produces perseverance. And what happens is perseverance produces what? It produces character. And character is what gives us hope. So when you read that, and now you go back and look at this word tribulation, which is, back up here. Verse 3 says, we also glory in our sufferings. The original word was tribulation, or tribulum. All right? And the English word tribulation comes from the word tribulum. And what a tribulum is, it's a big piece of wood that has these spikes that come out of it, and they used to drag it through the wheat fields, right? Because I grew up in South Louisiana in rice fields and soybean fields. And so what happens, you have a rice stalk, and then you have the little chaff stuff that comes on top of it. Well, what they would do is they would take and they'd cut the stalks off, and you'd take the kernels, and you'd drag this tribulum, and what happened, it would crack it up, and it would separate the chaff, the shell, from the kernel. It was the good stuff from the bad. It's a separating. So now what happens is, in Paul's day, it was a heavy piece of timber with spikes used for threshing the grain. The tribulum was drawn over the grain, and it separated the wheat from the chaff. My dad had bought 9 lots around our house in Iowa, Louisiana. And we lived in a little town of about 2,000 people. We lived on way, way, way outside on the edge of town, which meant we lived on, there's 3 streets. And so we were on the 3rd street on the outside edge of town. So we had 9 lots around. There was rice fields by it. And he had all these, sort of land. And he owned a grain elevator and used to take the chaff whenever they would process or they would dry the grain. It would produce take the hulls that are on the outside of it. And it would be collected in these big bins. Well, he'd take it and put it in dump trucks and have the dump trucks bring the chaff and put it behind the house. And they would just stack up and stack up, and you have these weeds and stuff would grow into it. And eventually it would sit and would ferment, it would rot, and it would turn into kind of a fertilizer-y kind of stuff. And that was its only value. You couldn't eat it. You know, in my wisdom one day as a little boy, I decided we were going to raise some Easter chicks. And so I went and dug a hole in the chaff. And I had enough money to buy me, I think five Easter chicks. Some of those yellow ones, some of the brown ones. And I'm going to put them in that hole, and I put a little screen on top of them so they wouldn't run away. And then I came back, like, the next day, because they had that chaff, I thought I'd eat the chaff. But the problem you have is whenever you put grain, that kind of stuff together, anybody know what internal combustion is? Okay. What happened was that chaff would heat up, and it was like putting them in a heater. Right, and it came in, all my chicks were dead. This chaff had no value whatsoever. Right, but what this is about is it separates the good, his flock, his following, from stuff that is useless. Right, and it's the perseverance that produces that, makes that it moves forward. Right, this hope, you see, because when you're going through those difficult times, whenever it takes perseverance and you gotta have character, that's where this hope comes. And this hope will not disappoint us. So back to verse 5 now. The hope we have in Jesus Christ is given to us by the Holy Spirit, the friendship we have with the Holy Spirit that helps us go through things when we recognize that there's a personalness to it, not a distant. It's something that's there that we can lean into when we go and say, this is God working. Because God working here on earth today is the presence of the Holy Spirit. The purpose of the Holy Spirit. Here's the conclusion of all this. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is for you to realize one thing. That God loves you. He loves you so much that when Jesus Christ said, I'm leaving, somebody even greater than I is going to come and be with you, Eduardo. The Holy Spirit's going to be with you, Richard. He's going to be here. And he is here. It's not fictitious. It's not something you just read about in a book on Sunday morning that Pastor Greg talks about. There's a realness to his presence in our life on a day-to-day basis. God loves you. So how much does the friendship of the Holy Spirit mean to you? Is it an ought to? Or is it a want to? Or is it a delight to? There's a realness that we've been on here. So before we close, I'm going to take just a couple. What did you? I'm going to go around. We got seven, eight of us here. What did you get out? What did tonight speak to you? What did you get out of this? Let's start with you. What did you get out of it tonight?
I've been debating as we look at the fruit of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Patience and self-control.
Mm.
And two things that hit me.
Mm.
And then I went back in thought to being raised in Latin America and being outspoken on subjects and believing in marches and strikes and demonstrations,
mm-hmm,
as probably the cause of me not submitting to being patient and having self-control.
Yeah. There's something for you to be thinking about. So, Eduardo, we're going to come back to you in a second. Richard, what spoke to you tonight? I know you took a lot of notes.
For me, remaining in a state of peace or holding joy.
Mm-hmm.
Because my background, just different issues with family and abuse and all that stuff. And getting closer to the Father and the Holy Spirit. The whole message spoke to me. It's been my favorite up to this point. They've all been good. It's that I don't have to fear that hope I feel. I don't have to fear that joy. And, it's just a deception. Like, when you have that, like, well, is that really real? You know, can that be sustainable? And so just kind of hearing you connect in a different way from me, the absolute truth that that's a gift from God, that you're loved by Him. And so it would make sense to me why the enemy would work so hard, either through circumstance or people, to try to rob me, because then it becomes like a heat-seeking missile to either steal, kill, or destroy. So if we have something from God, you know, to get peace, and it's always something trying to, and if he can get me to chase my own tail and do it myself, then we can just kind of back up and
mm-hmm
actually start living and walking in that. It's amazing how things will come out of the woodwork kind of to come against that truth.
Try pulling it. I like that a lot.
It's a long way of getting there.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I take a lot of notes, because that's a huge, huge. Different truths, layers of truths to stand on the rock.
Yeah, I like that. Good stuff then. How about you? What did you get out of tonight?
The ought to.
The ought to.
Oh, yeah.
Ought to versus want to versus
right.
Delight to.
Yeah.
That was a big one for me, too.
Yeah, there's definitely Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Would you, Bill?
Thank you for saying that.
The lingering.
The lingering.
I'm good about...
You're a doer, aren't you?
Having quiet time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, reading devotions and that kind of stuff, but I'm too busy or too... I don't wait on him to speak to me.
You get caught up in doing it versus... just lingering. It's like one of the things, I know where richness for me comes whenever I'm going through something and I'm reading something and I get on a word like linger, and all of a sudden I stop and I just hang on it and I go look it up and I research it and play with it and kind of do something or what have you. It's that linger, it just it goes to a different level. Different level. I like that. Thank you. How about you, Jared?
Friendship into it, it becomes very, very personal and very real. So I think that's the biggest point.
That's a good one. How about you, Eduardo? What spoke to you tonight?
Almost the same thing as...
Richard? Yeah. Or Bill?
Bill,
yeah.
Yeah, and patient. And I think that, when you wait, and someone that is helping you, like God, you have to trust.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, slow down and be there. I like that. I call it be present. You know, we talked about that earlier. You got to show up. Yep. You got to show up. How about you, Lauren?
A combination of things. The lingering part too catches me a lot. I find that when I stop and try to linger, I end up falling asleep. And that's also part of my self control. I tend to overwork myself and not sleep enough to be able to be fully present and linger. But this is not necessarily touched on during the class, but I really love the part about friendship and how personal it becomes because I long for that friendship that's transparent and truthful and kind of like in your face, like building you up. But when my mom mentioned about submission, 2 days ago, our Bible study at BSF was precisely in Romans when it talks about submitting to governmental authorities. Mm. But in going through all that, even to with my little 7-year-old backseat driver, whenever I exceed the speed limit, she's like, hey
mama,
are you serious? but just all those subtleties about how we take that lightly and don't submit and criticize who's in government and don't pray for them and all those kind of things. How that sheds light back on us that by not submitting to that authority, whenever it's not going against God's authority, we're actually in sin because we're not submitting to Him having appointed those people to be governing over us.
Right.
So that to me really stood out in light of this class and me wanting to be able to delight in my friendship with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. The fact that that there's a submission issue, that my self-control, all this other stuff. I need to spend time to linger and confess and sit before God and just feel that out.
Yeah.
To get him to check me on that.
Yeah. But what you're saying, that what I'm hearing you say, what's so cool is also, but to do it with the concept and thought in your mind that I'm doing it with a friend.
Yeah.
As opposed to the Supreme Court.
Right.
You know what I mean? You know, but that's when I think of God, it's like, that's the Supreme Court over there. But as opposed to the guy who takes his robe off, gets off the bench and walks and sits in the chair next to me. That's the God, that's the Holy Spirit that we have. How about you, Kenyan?
Well, in the same vein, the word that stuck out to me as we started was friend.
Yeah.
God is a friend.
Mm-hmm.
He's also the one I look up to, the one I go to, but in time of need or in time of joy, when I'm seeking something, the peace or whatever it is, self-control, that's something that I need to work on, is the self-control. But God loves me.
Very much so.
He understands me. He knows.
Right.
me.
Very much so. And that, when you say that, but I feel it's that's important for me to kind of, as we close with this tonight, is to make sure that no one walks out of the room with a misconception of what the point that's on my heart to talk about is, that this is not raising us up to God's level to be friend like me and Francis peer-to-peer. Because we are peer-to-peer, we're buds, okay? That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the love that comes from a friendship, comes from the creator of the universe, our Father, our Heavenly Father. I think of my dad was not a drinking buddy for me. He was my dad. We were friends, but in a father and son way that was precious. There was a friendship that came from that. He had all these characteristics of a friend. He was still my father. And that's what is so important for us to look at. The reason that I have to give somebody in our bridge class the credit for saying this, because I was trying to figure out how do I put this into words. And I asked the same question, what did you get out of this? And Moran Zolder was sitting in the back of the class. She goes, what I got out of this was you helped me to put skin on the Holy Spirit. And man, you helped me to put skin on him in a way, because it's, you know, we hear about him. What Jared saw, it's like there's a realness to him. There's a personalness to him. There's a friendness to him. But it's being able to put it in context that we have a difficult time getting our heads around. But when I think of Francis as being my friend, he's only that much of the friend, not because he's that tall, but he's Francis. I'm holding my hand about an eighth of an inch right there, all laughing right now. But it's because of the fact that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God, who is enormous in his capabilities and his power. But we have the ability to tie into that from a friendship standpoint, with that love, with caring, with concern. And that, to me, was the importance of us spending some time looking on the realness of the Holy Spirit in our life. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, this night, this opportunity to spend time specifically looking at John's writing, chronicling your words, Lord, that when you say that when you leave, that somebody even greater than you is going to come in, which is hard for us to even conceive. But you also say that you speak to us, you speak to the early apostles as friends, Father. As we go through Holy Week, let the personalness of that strike our hearts as we study tomorrow and we worship tomorrow, Maundy Thursday, the Last Supper, and the beginning of your trials. And when we either worship or just spend time reading on Friday about the unfairness of what you went through. And you did so for one reason only, out of love. And so, Father, we pray that we remember that as a friend, you chose not to speak. You just took it all. You didn't complain. You just took it. You didn't call down a legion of angels. You just took it because you love us so much. Help us to understand that friendship is real, and it's real in our lives right now. For those of us who believe in you, and we say, you are the Messiah. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Have a great Easter. I'm going to celebrate.